about. All right, I have to be sensitive to the Lord for a second. Just for a second. Sister, when you walked in, when you walked in, you walked past me. The Lord said, that's the one. You know, when I'm studying sometimes and I'm praying, God will show me people. And I have no idea who they are. People that I've never seen before. And so he told me there's going to be a desperate lady come. Desperate. And that he just wants you to know that he sees your cry, he sees your tears, and that there's going to be some healing. There's going to be some healing in your hearts this morning. You didn't come here by accident, and it is not in vain, but you're not going to leave the same way that you came today. Amen. 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 So expect the Lord to touch and heal some of those broken places, just like they talked about these hearts. I know. But when you walk by, the Lord said, that's the one. That's the one. So you hold on in faith. You hold on to that word, and you know that God's going to do something special this morning. Amen. 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 You guys don't mind if I'm a little free this morning, do you? You all right with that? You all right if we stay here till 6 p.m. in revival this afternoon? 6:30, okay. Amen. This morning I want to talk about the three D's of a deviated life. Now, Glenn wouldn't put all that on the CD, so I'm going to have to reduce the sermon title down. The devil's 3D plan. The devil's 3D plan. That's what I want to talk about this morning. And as I talk about it, I want you to go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. The devil has a strategy. The word is methodia. He has a method, a plan. And I want to tell you about this plan that he's using in the last days. So in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, here's what it says. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. The church of Ephesus. Do you know when Paul went to Ephesus, you talk about revival breaking out. Yes. This was a revival city. Demons were being cast out. People were being filled with the Holy Ghost all over the place, prophesying when Paul would lay hands on them. This is where it happened when they were talking about aprons and handkerchiefs and leaving, you know, they would take from Paul and they would send it out and people would be healed and demons would come out. This church in Ephesus was on fire. The kind of church I dream of. On fire. This church was so on fire that people were being convicted. The church of Ephesus, people were being convicted and they were into black magic and the occult and witchcraft. And they all decided, we're going to repent of all this stuff. We're going to renounce all of this foolishness. We're going to serve the true and living God. They brought all of their stuff, all of their books, and they burned them. And I believe it the dollar amount they gave in the New Testament, in the Bible, was 50,000 pieces of silver. And in today's economy, and I don't know how much it's worth, people aren't sure how much it's worth, but some people say that it could be as much as $5.5 to $6 million worth of occult material that they burned. That's a serious church. I would have even been scratching my head like, $6 million, we're about to burn it. But we would have burned it. But this church was on fire. And so it says, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Man, you don't want to be a false apostle going to this church. Hey, my name is Apostle Walker. I'm pleased to meet you. And somebody stands up and says, you're a liar. You're not an apostle. You're a liar. And the pastor says, get out. That's the kind of church the church of Ephesus was. Thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hath patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. They were some hard-working individuals in the church of Ephesus. Nevertheless, oh, here we go. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Because thou hast left thy first love. How do you get a church on fire to leave its first love? Thou hast left thy first love. One version translates it this way. You have turned away from your first love. Another version says this. You have abandoned your first love. This is how the Williams translation says this. But I hold it against you, verse 4, that you do not love me as you did at first. Now, I can easily say with all my heart, I love my wife today more than I ever have in our relationship. Love her more than I ever have. I've been with this lady 35 years of marriage coming up this year. Been knowing each other for over 40 years. Love her more than I ever have before. But you know, that's not the case in all relationships. Because some relationships, people wake up in the morning and they say to the other person, you know what, I just don't love you anymore. This is just not working out. And this is what happens with the church of Ephesus. One morning they woke up and they said, Lord, I just don't know if I love you as much as I used to anymore. Just not working out the way it was. How do you get there? I believe there is a plot. I believe there is a plan. I believe that the enemy has a plan that he uses to draw people away from the plans and purposes of God for their lives. And I've seen people on fire for God. I remember at one point in my life, can you believe this? I was once on fire for God. Even in my life, I remember I began to fall off a little bit. And I found other things that I found more interesting than Bible study and church. And that happens sometimes in the Christian's life. And God got through spanking me a little bit. I got back in church, got back in the Word, got back where I was supposed to be. But I know it happens. But I believe the enemy has a strategy, a method that he uses to try and pull people out of the love of God. And I'm going to talk about that this morning. So he said, you've turned away, you've abandoned, you've left your first love. So there are three D's I want to talk about in this 3D plan. The first D I want to talk about is the D of distraction. Now, Pastor has talked about this in the recent weeks. I've talked about this in recent weeks, how we are living in a distracted environment. A distracted environment. But when I began to study for this, this is what came to me. It's not just that the world has all of this stuff going on, but there is a supernatural demonic plot to distract people in these last days. I don't know if y'all heard what I just said. This distractions is not just, oh, let me cut the TV on. Oh, my phone is pinging again. Let me see how many likes I got. No, it's bigger than that. It's more diabolical than that. I believe that there is an evil warfare waging, especially against God's people, to distract us. And it is for a purpose that I'll get into with my second D. But the first D is distraction. And so this is what's going on. People are living in a distracted society. You know, they talk about how distracted driving now is just as dangerous as drunk driving or driving on icy highways or driving in bad weather. Distracted driving is just as dangerous as a person who's been at the bar all night. How many red lights can you go down before you see somebody? I don't have my phone, but in their car doing this. Every single one, probably. And I'm thinking as I see it, are you checking Facebook, text message? Are you reading an email? Are you looking up a recipe to see what you want to go and buy at the store? But you see people who are so involved in their phone to where the light turns green and they are just oblivious to the world around them. That's just an example. But I believe that we live in a distracted society. Jesse, where are those glasses you just had on? I think those are pretty cool. Won't you show the church those? Imagine while I'm preaching. Imagine while I'm preaching if Jesse put those glasses on and just walked around the church. Or just came up here and stood by me as I was preaching and was like, see my glasses? See these? You like these, don't you? That's an obvious distraction. But when the enemy comes, his distractions are not so obvious because they're subtle. They creep in. They come gradually, gently. And they come sometimes as simple as a thought. What do you think about this person? What did that person say to me? When you home, go home. Wait, what did they say? Why did they look at me that way? The enemy knows how to plant the right thoughts into our minds, and he knows how to say just the right thing. Do you know they say that a person driving down the road at 55 miles an hour who stops to check a text message for 5 seconds, it's like driving the length of a football field blindfolded. Anybody want to, I'll bet you that you cannot drive the length of a football field blindfolded without swerving off the path that you're on. And so that's what the enemy is doing, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. So I want to tell you something. In Ephesians chapter 6, if you will turn there with me, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, because I want you to see something. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And this, of course, is talking about the armor of God. And it says, finally, my brethren, and I think this word came forth today in our service, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If we're strong in ourselves, we're going to lose every time. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the methods of the devil. Now, this 12th verse, I think people read this verse two different ways. Here is one way people read this verse. For we wrestle not. And they close the Bible. I'm not wrestling. I remember in high school, I was probably 145 pounds. And coach was teaching us how to wrestle. And I was thinking, finally, I can be the next junkyard dog. And so I got into this wrestling match with this guy. First time wrestling like this. And we wrestled for 2 minutes. I was so tired and spent that I could barely walk back to my seat. Wrestling takes energy. It takes energy. And so people don't like to wrestle. People don't want to wrestle. But in the book of Ephesians, it says this. For we wrestle. This is the second way you read it. For we are in a wrestling match. Not against flesh and blood. Wait, you mean Jesse's not my problem? Sister Phyllis, you're not my problem. The people I get mad at are not my problem. My family members aren't my problem. Oh, man. But see, that's easy because I can just get mad at them and hang up the phone on them. But the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, put on the armor, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand in the evil day. I remember Pastor preaching a series about the evil day. And talking about how we are living in the last days, but these last days aren't just simply like, the devil is busy. No, we're living in an evil time. The days we live in are evil, are wicked days. And so Ephesians 6 tells us in these evil days, you need to be on guard and know that the devil has a scheme to try and distract you. And if it's an evil scheme, if it's a demonic scheme, if it is a purposeful, intentional work of the devil, then that means we cannot fight this thing on a fleshly level. Church, we need to get back to casting out demons. We need to get back to say, it's okay to say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind you out of my mind in Jesus' name. It's okay to say that. It's okay to say, in the name of Jesus, thoughts, you are a liar. I plead the blood of Jesus over my body, over my mind, over my emotions, over my heart. Satan, you will not come and harass me anymore. Amen. We can't just fight in the flesh like we used to do. That explains why you can't put your cell phone down sometimes, because you're trying to do it in the flesh. And we're wrestling. And you need to be the junkyard dog in the spirit. For those of you who remember the old wrestling days, I'm not going to take you back to those old wrestling days. For we do wrestle. You know, in these evil times that we live in, we've got to be spiritually minded people. We just can't walk around ignorant anymore. Times are just too serious for us to walk around in ignorance to what the devil is doing. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is painful. Ignorance is getting you bound up in things that you don't need to be bound up in. That's where ignorance gets you. And I'm telling you what, it's a whole lot easier to rebuke the devil out of your mind when the distraction comes than it is for once you get caught up and entangled in the things that he's trying to get you caught up and entangled in. I want to show you real quick. I want to preach from Genesis to Revelation today. So, what was that, Sister Faye?
That pretty much covers it.
Yes, man. Turn to Genesis chapter 3 with me. You can go home and tell whoever what you learned at church today. This guy preach from Genesis to Revelation. What's that?
Amen.
Yeah, 8 p.m. tonight. Genesis chapter 3. I want to show you how the enemy used this 3D method all the way back in the garden. All the way back in the garden. So Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, the devil, came to the woman, and this is what he did. And he said to the woman, he spoke something to the woman. Don't you know when the devil comes and talks to you, it is never good? There is not one time the devil comes and he speaks to you in your ear that you don't need to rebuke it. The devil never comes and says, hey, David, what you doing today? How you feeling? You had a good day at work today? I know. I've been trying to kill you your whole life, but I'm just kind of curious about how your day went, David. That is not what the devil does. There is never a simple conversation with Satan. You never cut on the TV and watch, hey, what's on? A simple conversation with Satan. Today we have Satan sitting down and he's talking to various people about their life. No. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And if he's talking to you about anything, is to kill you, is to steal from you, and is to destroy what you got. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said? Has God said? If he can get you to begin to question what God has said, he's got you. Has God said? Is it true? Is God's word true? Is this Bible true? How many times have you been believing God for something and the enemy comes and he begins to tell you, yeah, that's what the Bible says, but that's not for you. Oh, yeah, the Bible says you can be healed. Oh, yeah, the Bible says you can be set free. Yeah, I agree, it says that, but that's not for you. You've been too naughty. You sinned 2 years ago. Remember when you did this? You can't have this promise. Yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, that's what God said. Right. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Oh, you believe that? Don't believe that. You're not going to die. Which brings me to the second D. So the first D of the devil's 3D plan is to distract you. The second D of the devil's 3D plan, once he has you distracted, now he begins to try and deceive you. Distractions come for the purpose of deceiving you. Distractions come. The temptation comes for the purpose of deceiving you into doing what the devil wants you to do. And so now the devil says this. He said, and the serpent said to the woman, Genesis 3:4, you shall not surely die. Does that sound like deceptive words to you? You're not going to die. Here's a hint for your life when the devil comes. Are you ready for this? I'm just going to give you an example. I'm going to come down to where I can make sure you hear this simple example. If the devil tempts you with something, and the thing he tempts you with, just say it's a commercial, and the commercial ends by someone saying, if you have a problem with this, call this number. I suggest you don't do it. That's the wisest thing I can say today, Pastor. How many commercials do you see that they'll show these people having a party? Woo, we're having a party, having a great time. Hear the music playing, everybody's rocking, everybody's having a good time. People are laughing and smiling. Everybody has perfect teeth everywhere on the commercial. All their hair is perfect. Their bodies are perfect, having a good time. And you're watching the commercial and you're just going along with it. And it's like if you drink a little bit of this, and then it says, if you have a drinking problem, call this number. All you remember is the good time that you saw. But the devil's giving you a hint. If you drink this, I got you. I'm sorry, I'm yelling. God, keep me in line, Brooks. If you drink this, I got you. because I distracted you with the commercial. My next step is to deceive you into thinking, yes, I can go get me a six pack. And then the next thing is, yeah, I can go get me a case. And then the next thing is you're drunk. And the next thing is you're losing everything that you had. Because the distraction turns into deception. And he's got you. And it's a whole lot easier for you to rebuke him when he comes with the temptation than it is to get rid of him when he's got his hooks in you. I remember they were advertising sports betting. Now I know I'm talking to some folks. But I'm going to talk to you anyway. Sports betting. Bet on your favorite team. As a matter of fact, if you put in $5, we'll give you an extra $50. I'm thinking $50 free? That's pretty cool. $50 free to bet on my favorite team and I could actually win some money? I mean, that's a deal. I wasn't really tempted, Brother Vic. Don't get concerned. Don't be concerned about me. But think of the people who are. If I put in five, I can bet for a free 50, maybe make some money, maybe get rich. And then after the commercial is over, if you have a gambling problem, please call this number. In small print. Let me move on, lest I get any glares from the congregation. If the temptation, if the distraction, if the deception comes with a crisis hotline number, walk away. Walk away. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The devil told Eve, and I want you, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The devil told Eve the greatest lie that has ever been told to mankind. And here is what that lie is. God is not faithful and true. God's not faithful and true. He's lying to you. He is not faithful and true. That's the greatest lie the enemy has ever told mankind, and he tells us that every day. He's still telling us that same lie. God's not faithful and true. He didn't mean that for you. Yeah, I know he said he'll set you free, but I know God said he'll deliver you, but that's not you because you're into these drugs too deep. You're into this addiction too deep. God's not talking to you about this because this is past you. And that's the lie he tells all of us. God's not faithful and true. He's not going to do that like he said. But it's a lie, church. That is a lie. And I'm going to blow that lie out the water here in a minute. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And that big dummy, oh, it doesn't say that. I'm sorry. And he did eat with her. He ate it too. Adam, why? And so they ate of the fruit that God said not to eat. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:12 says this. It says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. This is how one version says this. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Everything is permissible for me. I can go and put my card in, get the $50 free money and start sports betting today. I could leave here and go drive to the nearest bar and say, hey, bring me a bottle of the best stuff you get and sit it right here in front of me. I can do that today. It's going to destroy. It's going to steal, kill, and destroy, but I can do it. And so 1 Corinthians 6:12 says things. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is good for me. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not become to the slave of anything. I am not going to be involved in something that can ensnare me. I'm glad I got two amens. Just because you're not struck by lightning the first time you do it doesn't mean that God doesn't hate what you're doing. Well, God didn't kill me when I tried it. I guess this is okay. I didn't fall dead like Ananias and Sapphira in church. I guess this is okay. I can try it again. That's what the devil says. That's where deception comes in. And so Genesis 3:7 says this, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And that comes to my third D. The first D is distraction. He wants to distract you. The second D is deception. He's distracting you because he wants to deceive you. And here's the third D of the devil's 3D plan. Once he deceives you, then comes deviation. You find yourself straying away from what God has told you. You find yourself deviating away from the word of God. You find yourself one day you're on fire. You're loving God. You are enjoying going to church. And the next day, the next thing you know, you're lukewarm. Your heart's cold. And you're wondering, how in the world did I get here? I can tell you how it started. Distraction. That turned into deception. And now you've deviated away from what God has called you to do. Now you've veered off the path. Remember that distracted driver going the length of a football field blindfolded? I'm telling you what, they might start out right down the middle, but by the time they get to that 100-yard line, they're going to go into the wall on the end. That's what deviation does. And Genesis 3:8 says this, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. They turned. They deviated from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. After being distracted and deceived, they made the choice to deviate or turn away from their first love all the way back in the garden. But here's what I think about. The Bible talks that we had read in Ephesians 6 about these evil days. If the devil was able to get a perfect woman and a perfect man who lived in a perfect garden, just think, they had a 24-hour buffet. 24 hours. And guess what? They had perfect health. Yeah. Perfect eyesight. guess what? Their brain cells were firing on all cylinders. They were so smart, so sharp. They could name all the animals. I mean, talk about brilliant, brilliant minds. Living in a perfect environment, perfect weather. How many, you know, at least twice a year we'll say in Louisiana, today is perfect, perfect weather. At least twice. Perfect relationship with their spouse. Imagine, perfect. Everything is perfect. They live the true perfect life. If they posted something on Facebook, it was perfect. Not like the rest of humanity. Whose lives are not perfect. If he was able to distract and deceive and deviate them, what is he doing in a world that we live in today? Where we are surrounded by chaos, surrounded by bills, surrounded by sickness, disease, crazy people driving around us, trying to run us off the road. Think of the desperate people today in our world today who the devil can come to and distract and deceive out of desperation. Can I give you a quick testimony? Quick testimony. This was way back, Hurricane Gustav. You know about hurricanes, and Hurricane Gustav came, wiped Brooks and I out, ran us out of our house because our house flooded. Lost pretty much everything we had, throwing stuff on the side of the road. It's all flooded and washed out. Owed a lot of money because as a young man, I grew up in poverty, didn't have anything. So I grew up, got a job, started working, found out what a credit card was. Woo, baby, let's party. Credit cards. I'm going to buy that new stereo I never had. I'm going to get that stuff I never had a chance to get. And Gustav says, hey, David, that's a nice stereo. That's a nice couch. That's all some nice stuff. Can I have it? Flooded all, lost everything we had. Washed away everything but our bills. So here are Brooks and I. Now trying to figure out, we got to find a home. We got to buy new furniture. We got to buy new stuff. Now we're up to here in debt, owing people money that we can't pay, paying for stuff that's been put on the back of a garbage truck. But we knew that God was faithful and true. And that he would bring us out of this desperate situation. So one night I'm sitting watching TV, and this guy comes on TV, and I'm just telling you, this is how you can be turned in your mind away from believing God in these desperate times. So this guy is talking, and he says, you know what? For the first 100 people who sends me $1,000, God's gonna bless you. And I'm sitting there thinking, Pastor Tardo said, don't fall for those people. But the bill collectors are calling me. I owe thousands of dollars that I don't have. I'm desperate. And this guy's telling me if I send him $1,000 that I don't have to send him, that I'll get checks starting to come in the mail, and out of nowhere, I'm going to start getting money. And I begin to think, where can I get my hands on $1,000? Maybe I can pledge the money and get on a payment plan with God. And the temptation was there for Not, God, I want to give you this because I love you and I want to bless you, but God, I'm desperate here. Here's 1,000. Come on, baby, like a guy in the casino putting 1,000 down, got my dice. Come on, Papa needs a new pair of shoes. That's where I was in my life. And then, before I could make that call, I began to think. The Holy Spirit said, okay, David, are you going to trust me or not? Am I faithful and true? Are you going to believe me? Or are you going to fall for this? Okay, I won't pledge my money. But this is the scheme. It's not that the guy was, I'm not saying the guy was a false prophet and all this stuff. Here's what I'm saying. The distraction came for me. When I'm, Brooks and I are praying and believing, God, we know you're going to bring us out of this. We know you're going to bless us and restore everything that the devil's tried to steal from us, God. You said you are a God of restoration, and we're believing you to restore. And I began to think, who else is watching this? Who's desperate? What woman, husband has left her, and she's desperate for money? And she's going to send money that she needs for medication for her children and food for her family. And I began to think about all the people who were ringing those phones off the hook. You could hear the phones ringing. I was desperate. And I was going to send money in desperation, not in faith. But here's what I heard. Trust me, David. Trust me. Here's what Brooks heard. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. I'm telling you what, getting to where we are today, my wife and I, it hasn't been easy. It's been step by step, day by day. Like Pastor preached last week, a little bit at a time, a trial here and a trial there, a victory here and a victory there, but God has been faithful and true to bring us out, and he restored all. He restored everything. Not only did God restore it all, he gave us above and beyond all we could ask or think. Amen. God is faithful and true. And so in these last days, the enemy is saying to desperate people, let me distract you so I can deceive you, so I can get you off the path of trusting God. But today, we're going to make up our mind that we're going to trust God. We're going to believe God, and we're going to get our focus back off that deviated path we've been on, back on trusting God. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I've proved you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you more. When Brooks and I were walking in fear, God said, trust me, I'm faithful and true. When Brooks and I didn't have the money to pay our bills, didn't have the credit to buy a hamburger and a bag of chips, God said, trust me, I'm faithful and true. When we didn't know which direction to go in next, God said, trust me. Somebody who's watching online, and it's easy to say this, so I could easily play this up, but You can believe me or not. Somebody watching online, you just said, that's me. I don't know which direction to go in. I have so many things going on in my life, and I don't know what to do next. I'm telling you, God is faithful and true. And today, when I pray, I want you to get back in line and trust God and trusting Him and get your eyes off of all that stuff you've been doing. And you trust God again and you watch Him be faithful and true for you. All right, let me wrap this up. I don't know what you're going through this morning, church. But I need you to hear this one thing. We serve a faithful God. Don't you listen to the enemy anymore. We serve a faithful God. Lamentations 3:22 says this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. God is faithful. There's a song called Great is Thy Faithfulness. I want you to do something, church. I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. Nobody's going to attack you. You're in a safe place. You can bow your heads and close your eyes. Even online, I want you to do the same thing. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Because I believe that the enemy in these last days has gotten us to a point where sometimes we begin to question, God, did you really say it? God, I haven't seen any evidence. God has been a month, 6 months. God has been a year. Is this really for me? I want you to hear something. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Sing it with me, church. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Did you feel that faith coming into your hearts? Did you feel that spirit of doubt and fear begin to tremble? So let me close in this. Revelation 2:1. Let's go back to where we started, and I'll close. Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to tell you of a formula that I learned from Pastor Tardo many years ago. The devil's formula is this, the 3D formula: distractions, deceptions, and deviations. But when you find yourself there, there's a 3R formula that you use to get back where you need to be. So Revelation chapter 2, it says this. We're going to go to verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5 says this: remember, and that's the first R. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent is the second R. And with repentance, I like to say repent / renunciation. Because sometimes we will say, God, I'm sorry. But we don't really renounce that thing that we've been involved in. Well, God, I'm sorry for the drug abuse. I'm sorry for the alcoholism. I'm sorry. But you need to say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I repent and I renounce this stuff out of my life. I never want to go back to it again. That's where true freedom comes, in repentance and renunciation. And then he says, and do the first works. Return to your first love. Remember, repent, and return. And that's what we're going to do this morning. That's what we're going to do this morning. We're about to go back to trusting God for some things. Some of you have been walking in fear. Some of you, the enemy has distracted and he's been lying to you. That is hopeless. You don't see any way out. And today, God is erasing that lie. God is erasing that lie. God is erasing that lie. Amen. So I'm going to pray for all of you. Where you are, I want you to pray with me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer this morning. And I want you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I've heard your word today. Lord, there's been times in my life when I've been distracted, deceived, and I've turned away from you. In my faith, in my believing, and other areas of my life. But Lord, today, in Jesus' name, I remember that you saved me. You delivered me. You brought me out of darkness. You saved me for such a time as this. And I want you to forgive me for my times of doubt, my times of fear, my times of distraction, my times of walking away from you. Lord, here I am. I renounce the things of this world. I renounce all of those things that has tried to pull me down. I don't want anything to do with them anymore. Lord, forgive me. Lord, deliver me from anything that this world has tried to place in my life. Lord, use me. Use me for your glory. Lord Jesus, here I am. Touch me today. Heal me. Deliver me. Set me free. And Lord, use me. I dedicate myself to you afresh. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen, church. I want to do one more thing. I want to pray over these. And it's like Brooks said, I want, Brooks, if you will come, Miss Darlene, I know you have a big part of this. Will you come with me, Liz? You've had the anointing from head to toe all day. Why don't you come over here and help us pray? And I'm calling these ladies because, and any other lady, especially mamas, because they have a heart for people. Will you come? Lay your hands on one of those bags. In the name of Jesus, Father, as these ladies are up here laying hands on these hearts, it's like what was read this morning. We all come from tattered and torn, useless conditions, but Lord, you take us and you make us special. And we thank you, Lord, that you saved us and you delivered us and that you healed us. And we pray that as these hearts go out, we pray, Father, that the people that get them, that they would be stirred in their hearts. And even as they read the card, that their hearts would be stirred and that people would begin to be convicted of sin. And that the anointing to break yokes would come upon them and that they would begin to see the Lord. And that, Lord, that you would begin to break shackles and chains. We say in Jesus' name, Father, that we pray that these hearts will wind up in the hands of those who are addicted. Those, Lord, who are even depressed, suicidal. Those who are going through issues that we can't even imagine. Lord, we deploy these hearts to go out, and we pray that as these fabric hearts go out, that hearts of stone would begin to become hearts of flesh. And we pray that there would be an anointing on these hearts to break the yoke. We pray that people would be healed by this heart ministry. We pray that people would be saved and delivered by this heart ministry. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, why don't you four ladies take those bags and go and spread them throughout the church real fast. Each one that you get, find somebody who needs saving. Find somebody who needs deliverance. Find somebody who needs a word and give it to them. Now, if you need one for yourself, that's fine too. But Pastor and I are up here and we can pray for you hands on. If you need prayer today, feel free to come up and Pastor Tardo and I will meet you up front. Pastor, you have anything else?
No, that's good, brother.
Amen. Amen, church.